listening to the Purple Project Podcast.
K-State Nation, what is going on? Eddie Greer back for another edition of the Purple Project Podcast. This is the reaction edition of the show. And of course, for those of you listening for the very first time, the Purple Project Podcast is all about the latest around Kansas State Athletics. And I'm recording this just getting done with my meeting on this late Monday afternoon, the 25th of October, 2021, on this very cool overcast day in Annapolis today, obviously. So that's that. And of course, this is going to go up here in a couple hours as well. So you got the K-State Nation, you will be able to listen to this. And finally, K-State was able to snap the 8 consecutive Big 12 losses streak there. That comes to a close over the weekend as they knocked off Texas Tech, having to do it coming from behind. Of course, the Pro Project Podcast, before we dive in a little bit of my reaction to this game, of course, the Pro Project Podcast, find it wherever you get your podcast: Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Odyssey, and a couple more Pro Project Podcasts here. I'm trying to grind away here as we are closing in on Halloween weekend. And of course, this is homecoming week for K-State Athletics. Of course, the homecoming game will be this Saturday against TCU. But first, got to get my takes off on reactions to this game. And I had a busy weekend. I was on the road, so I was only able to catch... I did not watch the game. I was able to listen to the game, to Wyatt and Stan, the guys, for really the majority of the game. I did not listen to the fourth quarter. I was at Kansas Speedway really all weekend, so, but I was able to listen to most of it and then catch the highlights when I got home from the race, and to listen to at least some of the post-game pressures and whatnot. So I do have a feel of what's going on there, but it didn't look good, K-State Nation. It did not look good for us in the first half, particularly in the first quarter, really, there, where Texas Tech got the ball first, scored on only two damn plays, and then, and I failed to mention last week on the reaction edition of the show that Tate Winkle missed a field goal against Iowa State. I don't know how I missed that. I guess, again, it goes back to what I said during the podcast. I wasn't really paying attention. I was more in tune to what was going on with the Atlanta Braves and what they're doing in that game. And, of course, oh, by the way, a little shameless plug. Shout out to my Braves. They're getting ready to take on the Houston Astros in the World Series, in a lot of intriguing storylines in that matchup there as well. So, and of course, yes, I love being the underdog. That's all I'm gonna say with that. All right, move that. That's a whole other podcast. I can spill on that for an hour, maybe possibly 2 hours at best on that. But anyways, K-State, it did not look good for them. So Tate Winkle, yeah, he made a field goal in this game, but he missed one last week. So I failed to mention that on last week's episode of the game against Iowa State. Oh, by the way, go and check that out as well. Definitely doing, if you've been missing out on the reactions, I've been doing most of them. I know I missed one due to the whole technology thing. But here, last week and in here, and I know I've done, there's another one out there. There's actually one more, really two more out there somewhere from this year. So, please, I implore you, I encourage you to go check those out as well. But yeah, it didn't look good. It did not look good whatsoever. And I thought, oh, damn, here we go. Defense didn't show up ready to play. And I don't know what it is about showing up and not ready to play. Here I go saying it again. In K-State, I think we got away with one. I really do on this one, because fact that, and with the news today, I'm recording this on the news of Matt Wells getting fired by Texas Tech. So, obviously, this is the second time that a head coach from Texas Tech gets canned after a loss to Kansas State. So, hey, we got something going there against Texas Tech. So, I mean, it might be funny on our ends, but it's not funny for the Red Raiders. So, that's unfortunate for them. Matt Wells was just hired. And after not even two seasons, he's gone. He's gone over there. So K-State pretty much did the head of the snake, cut off the head of the snake there on that end there. But I mean, there are a lot of questions. There are a lot of questions surrounding Chris Klieman here as well. And we talked about that. Me and Alex discussed that on the weekly edition, episode 67 of the Purple Project Podcast. Find it wherever you get your podcast. Of the Purple Project Podcast, by the way. So if you have missed out on that, I would also go back for you guys to do the same thing on that as well. But yeah, I think we got away with this one because we were trailing, 14-0 in the first quarter of the game there. So you get shut out in the first quarter, 14-0 there with the 45-yard touchdown run, which, again, arm tackling by the defense there, which, again, we learned time and time again that does not work very well. Then shattered Robertson on the fourth down and one, gets fourth and goal at the one, gets it in, punches in for the touchdown. And early on, K-State was not getting the calls there as well. Stan Weber was irritated about that aspect of the game. So there's that as well. Then finally, K-State was able to muster up a drive in the second quarter of the game, and Deuce Vaughn cashed it in and getting K-State on the board, and shattered Robertson again answered the score at that moment in time. Tayton Winkle, Skyler Tennessee. Yeah. No, Deuce Vaughn then. Yeah, Shadrick Thompson. That's right. I'm looking at, almost got Skyler Thompson confused with Shadrick Robertson. So double check on that quick. Okay, so then Tayton Winkle added a field goal after the Shadrick touchdown there. He makes that one. So the points were even up at 10 apiece there on that front. And K-State trailed at the half 24-10, and that was the last points for Texas Tech scored in that one, and for the probably maybe the second or third time this year, from my accounts, K-State shot out their opponent in the second half of this game, which was humongous, because they don't do that, then we lose this game. That's plain and simple as that there. K-State scored, put up 9 points there in the third quarter. Majority of that was a big thanks to Felix Anduke with a big safety there. Felix Anduke has been outstanding all year. He's picked up the slack there. And even before, now I've let them slip away. Oh, my goodness. Elijah Duke. Yep, Khalid Duke. Yep, Khalid Duke. And Bronson Massey went down with their injuries. Felix Anduke was making plays of his own. He makes a huge one, getting a safety right out of the gate there. And then later on, it was Deuce Vaughn, 2-yard run there. And then pretty much to take the lead late in the fourth quarter to cap off the comeback there. Deuce Vaughn, the Deuce Vaughn show was hot and ready to roll. Deuce Vaughn, 22 yards out, touchdown run. That was the final score of the game there, and it turned out to be the difference there. 25-24, your Wildcats win it over the Red Raiders in Lubbock. And at the time, hey, last week we talked about it. We said it. At this point, I don't care how you do it, you got to get a win. And I ain't mad at it. Hey, we got away with one, but hey, I'm not mad at it at all. There in K-State, you can get the goose egg off the board in Big 12 play with that big win in Lubbock.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast.
Eddie Greer back for the reaction edition of the podcast. K-State wins it 25-24 against Texas Tech there. And more importantly, K-State is on the board in Big 12 play. 1-3 now in conference play. 4-3 overall. And Texas Tech now falls to 5-3, 2-3 in conference play. Now it's transitioning to the offensive side of this episode here. Let's take a look at some of these numbers here. K-State, 377 yards total offense there. 296 of it through the air and only 81 rushing yards for K-State in this one. Texas Tech managed to slow down Joe Irvin and Deuce Vaughn, but Deuce Vaughn got loose late in the fourth quarter, though, to put the game in K-State's hands. Eventually, K-State closed it out with the win there. Penalties, again, K-State, again, 12 penalties for 93 yards in this game. And rarely do you see a team commit that many penalties and win the football game. That's what K-State did this past Saturday in Lubbock there. With that, first downs, 17-14, K-State. K-State went 5 of 12 on third down and batted 1,000 in fourth down situations, 2 for 2. And then K-State dominated the time of possession, 35 minutes there to Texas Tech's only 24 minutes in that game right there. So at least on that aspect there, Bill Snyder was coaching, he would be pulling his hair out, but he obviously he's not coaching anymore. Thanks to retirement, and Chris Klieman is, so they gotta be better. They gotta be better at that. if they're gonna continue to get some more wins here in 2021. All right, so let's look at the individuals here. Skylar Thompson's 296, 24-30. Again, he threw the ball well in this game. So, again, going back, he's shown a lot of improvement, and he threw the ball well, putting the ball in some different spots in this football game. Deuce Vaughn, 15 carries, 52 yards for him, 2 touchdowns for Deuce, leading the way. Malik Knowles had two carries for 26. Joe Irvin had 4 for 9 in this one. And Skylar Thompson, of course, sack yardage counted for his as well. But Deuce Vaughn again leads the rushing attack one more time for K-State. Meanwhile, in the receiving area here, Deuce Vaughn, 7 catches for 68 yards in this game. So again, Deuce Vaughn, a heavy part, a major focal point for this K-State team is on the offensive end. Deuce Vaughn getting it done again through the ground and through the air as well. Phillip Brooks had the next receiver. He had 5 catches for 37. Oh, by the way, Deuce Vaughn was targeted 8 times in the football game. There, Landry Weber, 3 for 49. Cade Warner had 2 catches for 35. Daniel Imadebebe, a catch for 32. Tyrone Howe, Sebastian Taylor, Jackson Eane, Malik Knowles, Nick Lenners, Sammy Wheeler all had 1 catch in this one. And then Joe Irvin was targeted once, but pass was incomplete for him as well. So no catches for Joe Irvin in this game. So if you can get, again, if you can get proficiency, efficiency from this K-State offense like we've seen here, even we saw it last week as well with the loss, against the loss to Iowa State, we saw efficiency, but mistakes here and there. And we're starting to see Skylar Thompson use more of his arm than his legs, obviously, because of the injury, obviously. But he's really been efficient throwing the football. Talking about Skylar, so this is good. And just running down the receivers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. And you throw in Joe Irvin, if he would have made a catch. Well, obviously, again, I did not see the game. I was only able to listen to it. That's 12, 13 different receivers. Whew. You get that type of production there, Yeah, you're gonna start getting wins, and you got another one coming up with TCU here in 5 days back at Bill Snyder. So you get that much production and spreading the ball around. That's what I'm talking about right there. You spread the ball around, get other guys involved there. Phillip Brooks made a couple of key catches in this football game so that's really good right there. And I don't know what the diagnosis. I mean, Skylar Thompson is on the field. Don't get me wrong. I'm just curious of how his knee is feeling at this juncture of the game. And I have not checked the weather for the TC homecoming game, which I will be at this weekend. So we'll see. K-State can try to build off this momentum. As my co-host Alex said during the weekly podcast from last week, he said, hey, this is a critical stretch. And we need to put together some wins. And if anybody caught the KU game, emoji, shocking emoji, the big eyes with the big mouth wide open. Yeah, that kind of caught my attention there on a pretty damn good effort by Kansas all the way around. So, I mean, that's a couple of weeks out, but that's a tension getter right there, especially taking a team like that, Oklahoma, to the limit. I got more on that when we get to do the Big 12 roundup. This is the Purple Project podcast reaction to us knocking off Texas Tech and apparently getting their head coach fired, Eddie Greer, here for the Purple Project podcast, Wildcat Nation, here on this very cool Monday late afternoon here. what I call this fall weather? I don't know. Just yet. Damn it. It's Kansas in the get. But hey, it's a kind of a neat to see a colder day here. Kind of a gloomy day all the way around, really. All day today around the city of Manhattan. So now let's flip the script here. My offensive grade. Well, my offensive grade, you know what? We're going to stick with the killer bees here. We're going to give them a solid B here in this instance here. So, it's not bad. They move the football all game long here. This is here. Skylar Thompson continues to be really good through the air, and that's big. If he was 100% healthy, who knows, but he's not still. But his arm is 100% healthy, and he is putting it right on the chest of these receivers / backs for K-State. If I watched this game, I probably have more for you on that, but I was able to listen to most of the game. I was not able to listen to the fourth quarter due to me being out at the KC Speedway racetrack. So, this is a stepping stone. I'm going to leave it like that. This is a stepping stone because you don't know what you're going to get in a few more days against TCU. But for the day, I give him a solid B on that front there. And I'm going to skip over to the special teams real quick, obviously. Tate Winkle made his field goal, which is big for him, after apparently missing a field goal last week. Failed to mention that. But he did put it in. He did put it in right there as well. All-purpose yards. That's actually already touched on that. Okay, so Tate Winkle, yeah, he went 1-for-1 in this one. Ty Zittner had 3 punts for an average of 55 yards. That's almost 56 yards, really, when you round that up there. So Ty Zittner had a great day punting the football. Malik Knowles had that fumble there in. Texas Tech converted that to a touchdown there, which put them down 14-0 at the time there. So Malik Knowles can thank, once again, Skylar Thompson and Deuce Vaughn for the heroics of this football game. For him, I'm going to give the special teams a B- in this one as well. So, you can't give the ball away that many times and expect to win the football game. But luckily, it was only the only turnover, really, of the game there. And another thing here before I turn it over to the defense side of the ball, actually, we're going to step aside here. But before I do that, one more note on Skylar Thompson here. Now I lost a train of thought here. Oh, there we go. Now he hasn't turned the football over. I mean, last week he did, but this past Saturday in that football game against Tech, able to keep the ball there and, you know, move the chain. That's the big thing on the road that you have to have on the road, is your quarterback not turn the football over, and Skylar Thompson did all of that. So, again, B minus, offense B minus for the special teams. And when coming out of this break, we'll talk about the defense and, of course, give my big 12 roundup here. This is the Purple Project Podcast. K-State, a one-point win over Texas Tech. Purple Project Podcast. K-State ekes out a one-point win on the road. Huge, huge win for Chris Klieman and the Kansas State Wildcats, Eddie Greer. Purple Project Podcast. So, like I've already said in this episode for you guys tonight, you know, you got to do what you got to do on the road to get a win, and that's what K-State did. And then more importantly, snap an 8-game conference losing streak against Texas Tech, 25-24, which Chris Klieman comments in one of the pressers last week said that, you know, we need some more positivity for this team, you know, as to try to get out of this. And, you know, I mean, I understand that these guys are 18 to 22 years of age here, but I mean, I've had that kind of puzzled me a little bit. You know, not in it. I'm gonna apologize for getting off the railroad tracks here, but you know, just thinking about that last week when we need more the media needs to be more positive. That's what Chris Klieman said last week. We need more positivity, as you know, these kids, you know, going for a rough time. Of course, I mean. I mean, we can't. What is there to take positive of losing? I don't understand it. Yes, K-State won this game. We won this game. Okay, that's been hammered since Saturday. K-State went out there and dug deep. They battled. That's what Chris Klieman said. They dug deep. They didn't back down. They didn't back down for Texas Tech. They went out and did what they did to, which. Has been a pattern this year. I mean, they fall behind, and next thing you know, they come out a different team in the second half. You know, it bothers me why, you know, they don't come out and play in the first half. I don't know. And it also kind of puzzles me that why does the head coach say go out and say that? You don't hear Nick Saban saying that. You don't hear the maybe because they win all the time. And, of course, yeah, Alabama lost, but you don't hear him saying that. you don't hear him saying that. So I apologize for that, but that's a first for me right there. I mean, in that press conference there, where, you know, Chris Klieman begged for the media to be more positive, I mean, we were getting concerned. I mean, you can't get positive over a third-game losing streak, especially an eight-game conference losing streak. What's happy about that? What's positive about that? There ain't nothing positive about losing. And losing that many teams. And, again, I said at the first half of the podcast here that we're very fortunate to come out of there. Again, I'm okay with the win, but at the flip side of the coin, we're very fortunate that it was a one-point win because Tech scores at all. Texas Tech wins this football game, and Matt Wells is still the head coach of Texas Tech, which he's not. I'm recording this actually a few hours ago. I was on Twitter for just like a couple of minutes. Taking a break there and just checking out what see what's going on. Matt Wells was fired today for Texas Tech, so no head coach for the Red Raiders. They can't keep a coach save their life right now. So, you know, that's Texas Tech's problem to deal with, and we got to get on a streak here, and hopefully Texas Tech is the start of that. So if you want us to be more positive, Chris Kleiman, you got to start winning games that matter. And these conference games matter. That's, nobody's not going to babysit you, hold your hand after a loss. I mean, you're just going to have to just take it. I mean, all those guys in that locker room, I mean, you can do what you as coaches, but as players, you have to take it upon yourselves, right? And hey, you got to be motivated and say, hey, look, you know, we're better than this team. And K-State, in my opinion, was the better team, obviously, in this football game. You just managed to fall behind 14-0, which you cannot do on the road. Unfortunately, a veteran leadership of Skylar Thompson, Deuce Vaughn, was able to lead your team back. And then you had a couple of key plays on the defensive side, Felix Anduke. And I called out this dude, last week for being invincible. That's Nate Matlack coming up with another big sack this season, another big stop, and K-State needed to make stops, and that's a perfect transition into the defense side of the ball. Here's the defense did its part. I mean, the K-State defense held their own against Tech in the second half, and that's the difference of the game. Tech did still manage to get over 300 yards total on the afternoon. 148 yards through the air, 170. Tech outrushed the rushing attack of K-State, 170 to 81. And we somehow managed to still win this football game. 5 of 40 on penalties for Red Raiders. And already mentioned some of their stats already in this game. So K-State needed to do what they do, and they stunned that home crowd down there in Lubbock last weekend there as well. Henry Columbia, 10 of 17, 148 yards for him. And this one, he was picked off in this game, in which I'm going to get to that stat here momentarily if I can catch who intercepted that ball. Rush East, he was called out on the weekly edition of the podcast this week from us, that, you know, he was good start off the season, but he tailed off when we played them heavy hitters, and it's nice to see him make a big time play. We're gonna need more of that from him down the stretch here. We've got TCU coming to Manhattan this weekend, leading the way in tackles. Actually, there's a tie actually for tackles. Cody Fletcher, the 1-2 punch at linebacker. Cody Fletcher and Daniel Green each had 6 total tackles. Cody Fletcher had 5 solo. Daniel Green had 3 solo as well. And, of course, Felix Anduke, big game-changing play. He gets the safety, sack, and he finished up with 5 total tackles. Reggie Stubblefield coming back to his old stomping grounds, apparently. Had himself a day as well. And looking down here, sacks total here. Nate Matlack, as I mentioned already a few moments ago, had a sack. He and Anduke had sacks in this one. The interception was Rush East. Big interception, kind of sealed the deal right there for K-State. And this one, actually, it wasn't Rush East. It was Julius Brents, actually, that we called out. But either way, though, the secondary wasn't playing hasn't been playing well. coming into this game, but KC defense manages to stop Texas Tech from not even a score in the second half, and that proved really the defense there as well. But Texas Tech in this game was seeking to go bowl eligible. We denied them of that, and Matt Wells is gone as head coach of the Texas Tech Raiders. So they're going to have to wait at least another week, maybe two, to get bowl eligible. K-State needs two more wins to even reach that feat, and hopefully we can get that against TCU. The defensive grade here, you start out the gate slow. Oh, man, it's really hard. You know, we're going to stick with the B-minus theme here. So offense B, B-minus on special teams, B-minus in the I almost thought giving them a C, but, you know, when you hold your end of the stick, turn things around, make big plays in the second half on the road, then that's going to get you a B-minus. So all Bs across the board this week for K-State as K-State wins it on the road against Texas Tech 25-24. Eddie Greer III. This is the Purple Project Podcast, all about Kansas State athletics. I did get a new phone late last week as well, so I like what I have. So now, if I could see, switch gears here real quick, as they still, why do they keep doing that? Anyways, all right, so now let's turn our attention here to kind of wrap the podcast here. Go to Big 12 scoreboard here. Obviously, K-State was the open of the Big 12 play, winning 25-24 in this game, winning by one. The other game that I mentioned early on this broadcast tonight, Wildcat Nation, Kansas. I'm not laughing at this. Obviously, we get K. Are we on the road against KU? Or I have to look on that. But either way, though, this gets your attention here. KU shut out OU in the first half. I don't think that's happened to Oklahoma in quite some time there in Kansas. They came out and balled out. And, yes, I'm giving them props this week. I'm giving them the props. Much like, yes, they lost the game. They lost another game. I know that. But you got to give KU its props there because they took the number three team in the country to the limit, like we did pretty much. So, but if you don't really pay much attention to Kansas, obviously their strength is in basketball, not football. But here to this point, KU has been able to they're still losing, but they've been able to be a lot more competitive, and this shows it right here. 35-23. This literally came down in the last possession of this game. Oklahoma's escaped. they literally escaped this game. So they stay alive. They're on that front. And then you turn your attention to Ames, where Oklahoma State gets knocked off, upset by Iowa State. Iowa State again Ames, Iowa strikes yet again. 24-21 in this game. Iowa State, a huge winner. We're going to check the standings here momentarily, but big for Iowa State to come out and deny Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State was undefeated, not anymore or not. So, be interested to see what the standings are, as I'm going to be looking at it for the first time, as well as you guys as well. In the last game on the slate, our opponent this week, TCU, lost at home to West Virginia, 29-17 in this football game. And let's get a little early look to TCU a little bit. Max Duggan, 244 through the air, touchdown, but got picked off twice in this one. Evans, 62 yards on the ground on 18 carries. Then you had Johnson, 113 yards on 5 catches for him. TCU drops 3-4. So yeah, teams coming in here to Manhattan. K-State 4-3. TCU 3-4 on homecoming there. And let's turn our attention to the standings now. As OU now, obviously, 5-0, the only unbeaten in the conference now. Thanks to the Oklahoma State loss. Oklahoma State right now still there, but
Baylor breathing down the necks now. Tie. This is actually a three-way tie for second. Oklahoma State, Baylor, who's now 16th in the rankings, and Iowa State with the upset win, back in the top 25, 22nd. So, all of them are bunched up fighting for the state. Now, obviously, Baylor has the tiebreaker of Iowa State, so all Baylor has to do has to have Baylor. Let me enter in here real quick. Here, let's see. Doing double take on a dime here. Let's see, I think. Nope. Yeah, they lost, so Oklahoma State has a tiebreaker on them. So it's all over the place. So has Iowa State played Oklahoma State yet? I don't think so. Let's see. Oh, I just said that. My bad. They just played them. Excuse me. Take that back. They just played them. So it's all over the place right now. So no team has no advantage. So Oklahoma State, Iowa State knocked them off, and then Oklahoma State beat Baylor. So in Baylor's case, Baylor upset Iowa State. So all these teams right now are pretty much split. It's going to take another loss, maybe an unexpected loss on top of that loss to ensure yourself. So really, there is definitely a three-way tie for the second spot. Again, the top two teams of the conference will be obviously going back to Jerry's World for the Big 12 Championship. OU is all by themselves. You wonder where K-State is. K-State is still the bottom three and of the conference there, even after they win, it's still the bottom three. But they're in a tie with West Virginia, more importantly. So you already beat Texas Tech, so that's good for you for us. So you got West Virginia, TCU, and KU to go here if K-State's going to move up the needle board here. And, of course, we got Texas at the end of the year, day after Thanksgiving as well. So, you know, K-State, we'll see if they can mount something here. You have TCU. You bring a limping TCU in here. TCU's 3-4, 1-3 in the Big 12 play. So it's going to be interesting this Saturday. Saturday is I believe, a 2:30 kick here, if I'm not mistaken here. Let's make sure I don't want to get this wrong. Okay, yes it is. So 2:30 Central Time here for the folks that are here who live in a Central Time Zone. That's 3:30 Eastern Time in the Eastern Standard Time Zone there. And it's going to be ESPNU who have this football game. So glad I'm going to be out in the stadium at homecoming. So at Bill Snyder Famous Stadium, homecoming. Hopefully K-State can get off the mat home and start off fast. I mean, these TCU K-State games tend to be downright rugged. I mean, last year, it was pretty much one-sided, really, because K-State defense just owned TCU's defense there. And we'll see what happens there. But particularly these games at home for K-State have been drag-out games. That's probably not the way I want to say. Knockdown, drag-out. There you go. Knockdown, drag-out games right down to the fourth quarter. And I have a feeling this game will go around in the fourth quarter, too, as well. TCU did try to make a comeback late last year. Didn't do it. Couldn't make it happen. And K-State was able to pull off the win in fourth quarter last year. So, I mean, K-State, I mean, they're going to have to pull some wins. If you want to be more positive, let's get some more wins. And we can start being a little bit more upbeat about ourselves here in Manhattan, Kansas, Chris Klieman. I mean, come on. This is only the start. Let's get some more wins. And then we can start letting off the wheel a little bit. So, I mean, we have to be concerned. We can't be saying, oh, everything's going to be okay, you know, when we're losing, when we're not winning. I don't know what to say to that, but say win football games. That's just clear cut and dry, right there for you, Chris and the coaching staff. So good job this week of handling your business, bearing down, because this against Texas Tech, it could have been way worse, but the defense woke up in time, definitely in time, to save K-State from going down 0-4, and that would have been absolutely devastating. So this is a huge win. Hopefully, going forward, they can put this build some momentum. Let's get some momentum going. Let's reel off a couple more wins. Let's not win and lose one. You know what I mean? So even though I probably predicted them to lose against TCU, that was back at the beginning before the year started. So, but at this point, at this stage of the season, folks, that, you know, you got to get wins and you have a chance to reel off wins here in this case. And there's four more to get here. Texas at the end of the year, obviously. Kansas, that is next week in Lawrence. And that game is in Lawrence. I just double checked that right there. That game is in Lawrence. So, whew, that's going to be something there as well. If that fan base was fired by OU, we'll see what happens there. But I'm not sure if we're going to be able to go to that game. Because last time K-State played KU, I don't want to get way too far about this, but it's on my mind, so I'm going to get it off. K-State owned that own Memorial Stadium. So that was an atmosphere. Let's not forget it. I mean, Les Miles did his whole, you know, his whole promotion thing and whatnot. Who is K-State and whatnot. But we took them. We took him in that ball club a couple years ago to the woodshed. We own that stadium for pretty much all the fourth quarter, pretty much. So, but you know, that is next week. The Sunflower Showdown. That is next week against KU in Lawrence. That's going to be another discussion. But we got to take care of TCU first. You take care of it at home. You got to do it. You got to get it done. You got to come up with more sense of urgency. I mean, yes, it's TCU, Gary Patterson and whatnot, but still, you got to come out with some sense of urgency. And, you know, for the second week in a row, they didn't really do that, even though this time they woke up in the midst of time to get themselves going and eventually win this game in the fourth quarter. Thank you, Deuce Vaughn. We appreciate you. And hey, you got to start off fast. I mean, you got to keep the crowd in the game. Our crowd, K-State crowd. We're at home. Just 2 weeks in a row that we haven't started. I'm just a little concerned about that part. So if you come out, you know, hey, let's put the pedal to the metal. Let's come out, punch in the mouth early and often. Then we should be able to handle these guys. But if not, it's going to be a fourth quarter game. This is going to be a four quarter game, no question about that. But K-State, they need to stack up these wins here. TCU at home, KU in Lawrence. West Virginia comes to Bill Snyder Family Stadium. And I forgot up in here, Baylor. So Baylor comes into Manhattan in November too. So that's before, that's a quick turnaround, because Baylor comes in here and you got to turn around, do a quick turnaround. Depending on the outcome of that game, you got to turn around a few days later to go on the road to face Texas. That's going to be an interesting switch. So you have five more games, two more to get bowl eligible. Can you get it done? And I actually expect K-State to get on a streak here, and possibly that West Virginia game is going to be tough, obviously. But obviously looking for way too far down the line right now, though. The concentration is TCU and Gary Patterson in that Max Duggan-led group. They're coming off a loss at home to West Virginia. We're coming off of a one-point win, a big, much-needed win for this football program here in Manhattan, Kansas. The Purple Project Podcast. Find it wherever you get your podcast. That's going to wrap it for the reaction edition of the show. Finally, we got a Big 12 win. Finally, we got a Big 12 win in our pocket. Let's go get another one against TCU this week. And the schedule, again, it's going to be possibly tough to get. I am, again, probably for the last time this year, bouncing around baseball. I mentioned the Braves. There, we are in the World Series. Hell yeah. Last two teams standing. And I mentioned we're the underdogs yet again. And we love being the underdog. Nobody picked us to get this far. So that's that there. So, again, I'm not sure. I'm telling you guys now that I'm not sure if I'm able to get a weekly in. I'll have to bounce around. I'll have to see the World Series schedule and all that. And then your guy, is going to be has a birthday this week as well. So hopefully, well, pertaining to that, exciting and terrifying at the same time, but also making a little. I'm also making some transitions as well. So I have a lot going on as well. So I definitely wanted to get this in to you guys and get it out there, and we can still continue to set at least this win today and then get our minds right for TCU. So I don't know when the next weekly edition is, so I'm gonna have to figure that out there as well. Yeah. So but it's like Alex said, you know, when I launched this podcast, I mean, there was nothing. We were dealing with this pandemic and still are to an extent. Still, it's still here. No question about that. But, you know, knock on wood a little bit there, especially this year, the incredible run that the Braves are on. I honestly did not expect that. I mean, we did that at all, but I believe in this team. I'm a longtime Braves fan from Georgia. So, but, you know, a lot's been going on, and I'm going to definitely try to do my best this weekend and get at least, this will be already be out already, but hopefully sneak in a couple of dailies in here as well, see what the schedule holds there as well. So, I'm going to go back to my calendar as well. So this is obviously the last series of 2021 for Major League Baseball as well. So after the World Series, we'll be back to regular schedule programming. Wednesdays will be back open again. Game 2 is on a Wednesday in the World Series. So that ain't happening. My birthday falls on a Thursday. That's not happening either. So Friday is for me. I'm telling my schedule here. So Friday is kind of a seeding set for the district playoffs for Rock Creek as well. So I'm gonna at least have two more weeks of that going on. So, but Wednesdays will be back open after the World Series. I know Mondays will be as well. So once the World Series comes to a close, we'll be back to our number scrimmage program, and we're gonna go back obviously to our number one original episode, but probably here. Reel off a couple episodes of the weekly edition of the Purple Project podcast. We got basketball going here, starting to really pick up steam here. We'll get our thoughts on that as well. So we got a lot more coverage here coming up on the Purple Project podcast here after the World Series concludes. That's going to put a pin on it for right now. The reaction edition is a wrap. K-State winners at Texas Tech over the weekend in Lubbock, 25-21. Off the snide, 1-3 in Big 12 play, 4-3, getting ready for TCU later this week. Eddie Greer, go Cats. We'll talk to you next time on the next edition of Triple P.
listening to the Purple Project Podcast. Get it wherever podcasts are found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Audio Boom, and more. We'll talk to you on the next edition of the Purple Project Podcast.